Good morning. We are discussing the work of the local church in this series of classes now. And last week we spoke about the church's mission to teach the gospel. The gospel, the doctrine of Christ, is to be, of course, taught to the lost that they might be saved. And it's to continue to be taught to the saved that they can stay saved. And Jesus really outlined that in Matthew 28 in verses 18 through 20 when he gave the Great Commission. And he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So, teach the lost and teach the saved. And last week we talked about this work of preaching and teaching the Word of God. That work is not just something then that we do collectively or we participate in collectively as a local congregation, but every individual has a responsibility to try to plant the seed of the Word of God in the lives of others, to teach and help train their own selves and their own families and others. But the focus of this lesson is about the church in a collective sense, in the local church, and its responsibility. And what we saw in our study then regarding evangelism, preaching and teaching the Word of God, was that the church supported preachers in that effort. And in doing so, they had fellowship with their work. Paul describes that in Philippians chapter 1, the fellowship that that church had with him. And they had sent to him unto his needs as he was teaching and preaching. We saw too that the church in Jerusalem sent men to Antioch, sent Barnabas to Antioch, that he might preach and teach there. We see then the church collectively in a particular location like Philippi or Jerusalem involved in the supporting of the work of the preaching and teaching of the gospel. But going from there, we want to speak this morning about another work of the church collectively, and that is edification. And before we do that, though, does anybody have any comments or thoughts about evangelism? Edification, then. The word edify literally means to build a house, to construct a house. So initially we can start thinking about building. And the word is sometimes translated building up or build up in the New Testament, depending on your version. I want to say in the outset that the Bible sense of the word edification and edify does not simply mean feeling good. Now, I'm not saying that one's emotions are not involved, because the emotions are part of the heart. The heart is reached by the Word of God. But in today's religious culture, a lot of what people are involved in is entertainment that makes them feel good. And sometimes they feel good and they've never even heard a Word of God spoken in whatever meetings they're having. But they feel awful good. And they would probably tell you that they were edified. The question is whether this was based upon and rooted in the Word of God, and whether they've done the things that God has said that we ought to do in order to be edified, and how edification comes. Chris?
Well, this is where people will say that this word actually means encourage, kind of like what you're saying. And so people say we need to encourage one another day by day, or what, and it's true, but it's a completely different word. We need to encourage one another, but this is specific to spiritual building of one another. It's a different word from encouraging.
Yes, it is a different word from encouraging and exhort and admonish. Those are all part of and elements in, I believe, elements of building up. When we build up and edify one another, it comes through things such as encouragement in the Word of God, admonishing from the Word of God, and things like that. We'll talk about that in more detail as we go, but that's a good point to make. Does anyone have any other thoughts here? Really, as we read in the second part of the Great Commission, I believe we're seeing edification. Because Jesus said that those who are saved, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The question might arise, why? Why teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you? And I said a while ago that we might stay saved, and that's true. But God doesn't save people that they might just exist. He saves us that we might grow. Because as you know, and I know, and everyone knows who's human, we are saved, but we have a lot of growing to do. We have a lot of changing and fixing and growing up to do. How would you like it if your mate said to you, your spouse said to you, I'm just happy that we're married and that's all I wanted. I'm happy to exist with you. I mean, that's a beautiful thought in itself. But do we not want our marriages and our relationships to grow? And do we not do that in our families too? We're growing in character, and we're trying to grow together. We grow in our love for each other, strengthening our marriage, strengthening our families. All those things, nobody would say, I just want to exist. And we have children, and here we hold this little 7-pound baby in our hands, and we're happy that they just exist, and we're happy if they just stay a 7-pound baby. And they just exist this way. They grow. Growth is a natural process. And spiritually, it's not a natural process, but it's a process that God wants us to be involved in and He has designed for His children. God has made it such that we can grow, and we'll talk about what all that involves here as we go on. But I believe what we've seen, and I mentioned we're on a collision course with the Wednesday class, but here's the collision, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. We talked on Wednesday night about how Christ arranged in His church certain gifts and functionaries in order that the church might grow. And so I want us to read Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16, because they tell us about God's design that His church grow or be built up. Growth is part of being built up. So let's read Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, by which they lie in wait to deceive, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. These gifts or functions given in verse 11 for the equipping or perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And in here we see this idea of becoming a perfect man, no longer being children. There's the idea of edification or growth then? Just as a child grows from childhood into maturity, so God's design is that Christians, having been saved, grow from childhood into maturity. And he speaks of this idea of edification in verse 12 and the edifying of the body in love. Involved in that then is growth. We'll talk about that just in a moment here. I believe from this passage we've read, we can see that edification involves spiritual growth. We'll talk more about what that means. Development, we could call it. We're developing ourselves, strengthening ourselves, and maybe this one should go before, but even stabilizing ourselves. We're trying to stabilize one another and strengthen one another, to help develop one another and help each other grow. These ideas, I believe, are involved in edification, building up. Remember, edification, such as build a house or construct a house. Think of how a house must be, as it's constructed, there must be a stabilization. There's, of course, a foundation that's laid. But as it's being built, things must be stabilized and then strengthened. And there's development of this building and growth of it until it becomes what it was designed to be. Edification, the building up. Guy, did you have a thought?
Yeah, but keep going.
Okay. I want to say this. Edification is rooted in and sourced from the Word of God. We cannot help but see that in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Because all of these gifts given here, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, what is their role? What is this about? This is about teaching the Word of God. It's about communicating God's will. And in fact, most or many, as they read this, commentators say, well, in this day, all of these people would likely have had spiritual gifts, even the pastors and teachers and evangelists. Timothy had a miraculous spiritual gift. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul had laid his hands on him. And very possibly elders often would have spiritual, miraculous spiritual gifts given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. But what all is going on here? It's the teaching of the Word of God, the unity of the faith that's trying to be instilled in Christians that they might be edified and grow up, no longer be children. All right.
Okay. So then, is edification synonymous with God's Word, growing in God's Word? I mean, that's all. I guess I see that as a positive edification, positive effect of God's Word. But is there a negative side to edification? Can we be edified in an error, in going in the wrong way? Or is that then not edification if it's, see what I'm saying? If it's not God's Word, is it not edification?
I would say,
as we grow,
yeah,
learning.
I don't know that the word edification is ever used in the New Testament to describe people who are edified in error.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Edification, godly, and maybe we should just add that adjective, and I think that's in the Bible, godly edification. But we think about edification, it's godly edification that God has in mind, and yeah, it would be that building up that people may feel that are in error, and they're being, I mean, are people in a Sunday Mass in the Catholic Church being built up in something?
So then that would
they're being built up.
That would not be edification then.
That wouldn't be Bible edification. They're being built up in what? Catholic doctrine, error. They're being built up in that, which is actually a spiritual declining and regression or whatever. I don't believe the word's ever used in the New Testament to describe that which is happens in error. The English word could be used, if we're going to use it in a Bible way, it's going to be godly edification. But as far as the word itself, just taken out, just like the word baptism meaning immersion, if you jumped in a pool of water, you were immersed. Someone threw you in, you're immersed. Okay, but that's not Bible baptism for the remission of sins. I don't know if that answers your question. Does anyone have any other comments or thoughts? Troy?
Well, you were talking about building it up like in a house, and it took me back to when I was building the cabin. I put my first wall up, but it wasn't going to stand by itself.
Right.
You know, I had to put support beams down. So, you know, I think of that as a new Christian. They're not going to stand alone. We have to support them and help them. And then as the walls came together, well, it got more stable, and I could remove the support boards. But as I continued to build, I continued to strengthen the walls and everything with the cabin.
That's right.
But you can't just put one wall up and say, okay, you're up, stand by yourself.
Yes, and that word support probably deserves to be in this list of four things here. The idea of supporting or helping support one another, that helps build up. Yes?
I was thinking of Romans 12 and the parallel to verse to Ephesians 4:16, where he speaks of being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, proper working of each individual part. But in Romans 12, beginning in verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. It goes on. And I'm just thinking that how, and kind of like what Troy is saying, that everything that every part of the body does has an effect on the other parts of the body.
Yes.
So when we're speaking of this, when you're speaking the word, it has an effect. It's a positive effect on it. When the members are doing something, whether in their daily life, whether it's good or bad, it has an effect on the entire body. And just as in verse 6 back in Ephesians 4, that the body works together harmoniously. So if there's a bad thing going on, there's a negative effect. I guess there's a lot we could say on it.
Yes, that's right.
This edification is so...
It's so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Any other thoughts? We're trying to each grow, develop, be strengthened and stabilized and supported. We're trying to do that through edification. And so my edification doesn't depend, in other words, I could grow and you not. That's possible. So when it gets down to it, we're wanting each of us to grow. We grow individually. And that's not to say that you couldn't look at a church and see it functioning so beautifully and so well in harmony with the scriptures and say, well, that church has grown. Because I remember that church when maybe it was the same people, but they were floundering about what should they be doing and all of that. So then you could say, well, yes, collectively as a church, they have grown. They used to allow error, now they stand for the truth, and they, etc. There's definitely growth there. But we must not forget, you know, we grow individually, and edifying, when we are edifying one another, it's to help us each individually grow. And when that happens, isn't there growth of the body? The whole body. Back to this last point here, Acts 20 and verse 32, Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. This is to the elders from Ephesus. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. We could come here and we could study and talk about a whole array of things that would be of great interest to you and me. But edification, spiritual building up, is going to be sourced from and rooted in spiritual teaching from the Word of God. And that's so basic and important to understand in the beginning. And so, here's what happens. If we, just a congregation, gets away from book, chapter, and verse, and from opening the Bible and study, and we start just studying what you think or I think, and that becomes kind of the conversation of the class, you may go away feeling good, but you may come up short then on what? Spiritual edification. I'm not suggesting that we don't say things in a class. We do, and we say, well, here's a spiritual truth. And maybe we don't quote a scripture, but we speak a spiritual truth. It's based and rooted in the Word of God. I understand that. But I'm just trying to say that this is sourced and rooted in the Word of God. How, and that comes out in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. How important it is for when we assemble, and we'll talk about now collectively in a bit, how important it is when we assemble that we are hearing and speaking and majoring in the Word of God. I'm not saying we don't make it practical. We need to make it practical when we're doing that. But I'm saying that is the root and the basis of our edification. What do you think? I mean, isn't that what we understand from the Bible about edification, Chris?
Well, Paul instructs the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14 that when you assemble, let all things be done for edification. That's the purpose of why you come together. And so, as you say, if that's not being accomplished,
we failed.
We have failed.
Yeah, that's right. And what we'll go to 1 Corinthians 14 either today if we get there. But, you know, what is it in 1 Corinthians 14 that they needed in order to be edified? We'll answer that in a moment. But what is it that they needed to happen in that assembly? I want to go on then and speak about some things that are key ingredients to edification. Edification involves practicing love, having an attitude or disposition of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, he says, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I believe Paul is saying that knowledge alone, if that's all this is about, then it's about how much you know versus how much I know or something like that. That's just garbage. Why is it that we will come together and share knowledge? It better be love involved. The best interest of each other. Love edifies. Love needs to be present in order for edification to happen. Then Ephesians 4 and verse 15, we'll not read it again, but we read there, actually verse 16, the edifying of itself in love. There needs to be a disposition and attitude that acts in the best interest of one another, that we might be edified. You and I are here today. I'm not in your mind, but I don't think anyone here doubts that to be present in one another, in our purpose and our attitude. I have no doubt about that. I can say from my standpoint about my brothers and sisters who are here, it's with a disposition of love. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 14 through 15 also, Paul said, above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Love is to help bind us together. It's then, as Paul said in Ephesians 4:16, needs to be present in the edification when the body is edifying itself in love. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace needs to be present. That is, I want to say, an attitude of peace, a attitude of peacemaking. We're peacemakers. We're trying. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3 that we studied on Wednesday night. Paul said, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Edification and spiritual building up is going to really be a challenge if brethren are not at peace with each other. If they're bickering and fighting and have grudge and bitterness and all this, I mean, how can edification occur in such an environment? In fact, maybe Paul talks about when he writes to the church in Galatia, churches of Galatia, they had a real challenge because they were not at peace and not walking in love. But love and peace ought to be present. Romans 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 and 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. I believe then love and peace, and then also what Chris referred to in Romans chapter 12, we're members of one another, and so we're coming together. This relates to love, but our intent is service to one another. I'm interested in building you up, and you're interested in building me up. And I may be standing here doing the class, but I need building up from you. I need, no matter who's standing here, whether he's some of the preachers we have who've been preaching for 50 years or something, they need edification. And when the body is doing each part, doing its part, let's go there, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Why is the body doing this? Why are the members doing this? For the good of the other, in service to others. So edification occurring among brethren ought to involve love and peace and an attitude of service to each other. Those are elements, too, of edification. Guy?
Okay, maybe a silly question, and I think you kind of touched on it when you talked about the idea of peace, but why is love necessary? Peace necessary, service. Why is it necessary when edification is being done? And I don't know if I can answer my own question, but I think it goes back to what you said earlier, is the fact, the idea of feel good. Mm-hmm. Edification is not feel good. Isn't that what you said earlier?
Yeah, it's not just feel good. Your emotions may follow, yes, but...
So edification can cause
good
conflict, can cause maybe a disagreement between brethren, right? And I guess, is that why that's necessary? Because, I mean, back to... was it 1 Corinthians 8:1?
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge makes arrogant, but we're supposed to grow in knowledge. We're supposed to, according mm-hmm. to 2 Peter, we're supposed to have knowledge. So, but love edifies. How is love edifying?
It's an element of edification. If there is, like you said, if there's a disagreement or not an understanding, if one simply has knowledge, but he has no disposition of love toward his brother.
In sharing the knowledge.
In sharing that and trying to come to this knowledge together, then I guess there's a problem. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about Ephesians 4 and verse 2. He says, in lowliness, gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. There's going to be some challenges without love involved.
So in edifying, okay, that word of challenges, there's going to be some challenges and stuff in so doing that. So as brethren, we need to have an attitude of being able to be edified, maybe.
Yes.
Which means I need to understand that it's coming from a position of love.
That's a good point.
And
that's right.
And I need to have peace so there isn't that conflict that we create.
Yes. That's all well said. I don't know what to add to it. Troy and Kenny?
You think the problem, the disagreement that some of the people had here, and the peace was not kept, and when the peace was not kept, the love was divided, and we haven't stopped loving them, but our love with them is not growing anymore either. Mm-hmm. You know, we pray and we hope that at some point in time, we can come back to an agreement, to a peaceful understanding. But if you're not willing to listen and study and learn, then you don't have the growth that you need to continue to be strong together. And not having the peace causes division. And when you have the division, then the love doesn't grow.
That's right.
And open hearts and open minds and being willing to study together and continue to work at it is the only way to solve it.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Thank you for that. Those thoughts. Kenny?
I was just going to add to your love. It's in 1 Corinthians 13:4-13.
Yes.
Too much to read right now, but yeah.
Right, and I was thinking of that, and to Guy's question, what was lacking in Corinth? Love was lacking. There was jealousy. There was this thing about who has the greater gifts and wanting to be able to speak in tongues. And he tells them in 1 Corinthians 14 that prophecy, one who prophesies, speaks edification and comfort. Love was not present, and without love, there was not then what? There wasn't edification. Was not edification. There was also then division in Corinth, which means there wasn't peace present. Without those things present, it did much harm to the ability to be edified. And service kind of fits in some sense with love. But the attitude that we're trying to serve one another for each other's best interest and the building up of one another. Chris?
Just thinking about Guy's comment, and it seems that there's the two-step with think like it's edification, there's individual edification, but there's also the building up of the body,
mm-hmm.
the local body, and the two separate things. Is that, am I right? Because we can individually be built up, but that doesn't mean the body, that's going to be built up.
Right, the body together ought to be built up as individuals are built up.
And like in Ephesians 4, the body is not going to be built up unless all those things come together and everybody's working together and all those elements are going. But individually, we can be built up spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know if I totally follow what Guy was saying. It's been long enough ago. I've kind of forgotten some of the things he said, but I don't know if he was getting at that.
I'm not sure. Troy?
The Bible talks to us about having talents. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we work on our talent, we each have a different strength, a different talent. And as we grow, those talents will grow with us. If we don't work at it and we don't try, then we bury our one talent and that's all we have. You know, the Bible speaks of this. The Bible tells us about it, that we are not all the same. We all have different strengths. But if we continue to work together, we can grow those strengths and help each other in our weaknesses.
That's right. Yeah. And I think Romans 12 speaks to some of those things. Whatever it is you have, do it. Do it with diligence. We are trying to edify each other so that we each individually can grow. But as we grow, the body grows. It cannot help but grow. And there may be one who's not growing. Does that mean the body doesn't grow at all? I don't believe so. The body continues to grow. A part can refuse to grow and all of that, and it can become a drag or a difficulty for the entire body. But we're wanting to grow individually. We all know this. My faith's not yours, your faith's not mine. You'll stand before God yourself, answer for yourself. We take personal responsibility for our growth, accountability. But that does not mean that we are not interested and giving effort, as God says, to help each other grow. To help each other grow. That's what we want to see in each other.
1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build up each other up, just as you are already doing.
That's good. Yes, and that's a good scripture there for the idea of building up and encouraging, which is part of that, I believe. There are some scriptures that I believe speak to the idea of edification without perhaps even using the word. I don't think any of these that we'll look at use the word edify. However, edifying being building up, which we talked about, stabilizing, strengthening, and growing, and that idea, is found in these scriptures. Other than our discussion, we haven't really stopped and said, okay, well, when does the church collectively do that? I'm not there yet, other than that's come up in our discussions. We're still thinking about this edifying and this growth that the church, that Christians needs to be happening with us. So let's read some scriptures related to that and get a sense of what should be accomplished by edification or building up, the constructing of the house, so to speak. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, Paul says, and he's writing to the saints in Christ who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Several words and phrases in here describe what we're trying to accomplish in building up one another. Love may abound. Edification should cause growth of love. He goes on, in knowledge and all discernment. Discernment is an aspect of wisdom. We want to grow in love. We want to grow in knowledge, grow in discernment. Why? That we may approve the things that are excellent. God wants us to grow and excel. He wants to excel as Christians. Maybe that has a connotation in the world differently or something, but can't we say that? That's what God wants us to do. He didn't want us to be wishy-washy, just whatever people. He wants us to be excelling people. Excellent. Approve the things that are excellent. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. He wants us to grow in fruit, in our fruit bearing, which often we think of teaching others, but Galatians 5 and about verse 22, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. God, he wants us to grow in those fruits in our lives. I believe Philippians 1, 9 through 11 is describing some of the accomplishments of edification, of building up. Those are things to be built up in other words. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's again a lot of phrases and terms that I believe refer to the idea of being built up. We're wanting to be built up in knowledge of His will, in wisdom and spiritual understanding, in our walk, so that our walk will be worthy of the Lord. That doesn't mean when we talk about being worthy, none of us are worthy of the gift of God's grace that He gave to us. We don't deserve it, in other words, but we are to walk worthy of the Lord. That means in keeping with the way He's commanded. You've been called into light, walk as children of light, in other words. But fully pleasing Him, and then here's growth, being fruitful in every good work, being edified and built up that we might be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, that's being built up, edified, strengthened with all might. Why do we need to be strengthened? That we can withstand trial and temptation, strengthened with all might, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks. I'm just saying, these verses give us a sense of this idea of being built up, strengthened, growing, being stabilized, bearing fruit. That's what we are trying to do in edification, is to encourage and build each other up toward more of that. Colossians 2 and verses 5 through 7. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught, according it, abounding in it with thanksgiving. All right, this idea of being rooted and built up and established. There's this stabilization that's going on and the building up in Him. This is all part of edification. And look at it. It says, as you have been taught. It goes back to the Word of God. And so, looking at those things, I think about building up involves, we talked about it, involves growth, like a building being constructed. Growth in knowledge. Growing in our faith. In our assurance. Strengthening one another to withstand trial and temptation. Helping one another and encouraging and building each other up to grow in our love and in good works. Back in Ephesians 4, this edification, one of its purposes was that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. So we want stability and strengthening and knowledge and wisdom that we can identify error and not be swayed by it. Like a sailboat on an ocean, this way and that way. More firmly planted in the truth. And we're encouraging each other to develop stronger character, godly character, righteousness. And we want to be able to teach others. And so we're building each other up in our knowledge that we can do more of that. There's a lot of other things we could probably put here, but edification is growth, it involves growth and strengthening and stabilizing is what we're trying to do with each other. Any comments or thoughts about it? Yes, Troy?
Identifying error, you know, the Bible talks to us about that. You know, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. You know, and I think we're being spoken to as individuals and as a body. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody comes in here and or one of us starts talking error, it needs to be corrected or it needs to be plucked out.
Yeah.
Because it's better to,
yes, all right,
to go to heaven as a cripple than it is to stay in error.
Yes.
Stay in error, you won't make it.
Yeah,
and
that's
that,
right.
That is also our body as a religious body with Christ being our head.
Yes. And so, you know, how does error find its way in? We can talk about, well, someone desired something, maybe the desires are wrong. But it's subtle. It's deceiving and cunning. And so we're wanting to be built up and grow such that we can identify that. And when something just comes in like that, you can see it for what it is before it tries to take root and takes others away. We need edification. And I had a bullet point when I was taking notes for myself, and I go through several revisions, but one of them was why do we need edification? I think we've talked about some of this already in these scriptures we've read that we, like here, we need it for these reasons. We need it. And God made the local church to be that place that, or that group with which we would receive edification. You may receive edification from a brother or sister in another state or another location. That's great. That's good. But God wants us to edify one another. And that's so important. This is where we live. This is where we are. And it's kind of like the lesson last week about the importance of how we need to be part of the local church, part of a local church. We need that. And we need the edification that comes. And so then, we're out of time, but I wanted to say this. You know, not all edification is accomplished collectively. by the whole church. In other words, I may come to you or you may come to me with something. That's not the church doing it. Church didn't send you to come talk to me. You just saw something with me that you felt like you could build me up, or you could help me from something I'm not doing or that I should be doing. And you've come to me. That's edification. We'll look at some scriptures related to that. So not all edification is accomplished collectively, but we will talk about how the church collectively accomplishes edification in the study also. So we'll look at this in another slide as we next week try to wrap up this part of the study. Does anyone have any comments or questions?